Brother Larry has asked us to read from Ephesians 5, verses 1 to 21. Ephesians 5, 1 to 21. Title for this portion of scripture in my Bible is Living as Children of the Light. Be therefore followers of God as dear children. Walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and gave himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you, as become the saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, who hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are proved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. All who are able, let us kneel for prayer.
Greet you in the name of Christ as we stand before you this morning or this evening. I was impressed as Brother Ken was bringing us the message this morning how well I think the messages go together. And again, I feel it was the work of the Spirit. I want to thank each one of you for praying. Many of you did not know who was going to be here, but I certainly appreciate those prayers, and Brother Nathan for his audible prayer. I guess you would call this more of an expository type message here this evening. The title is going to be Focused for Joy in the Journey. As we go through life, I think there are things that come into our lives that give us something to focus on. There are goals to reach, something to work towards, strive for. Some of these things can be accomplished in days, some of them may take weeks, some may take months, and some may take years, and some a lifetime to come into place. But they give us something to focus on, a focal point. An example would be maybe a young couple gets married and want to buy a house. And there are some disciplines that need to be put in place before that can happen, I think. Banks today require at least 20% down before they'll loan the balance of the money, and it may take a couple of years or more to save up, but there's a focal point, something to focus on, something to work toward, something to strive for. But when these things become a reality, there's a sense of satisfaction and joy that permeates through us and a gratefulness to God for what he allows in our lives. And maybe it's just after the house is bought, and you want to get it paid off as quickly as possible. And just recently I was talking to some younger ones and reminded them how important it is to pay ahead, if that's a possibility, any extra principal you can, even a dollar principal each time. If you're just starting out on a 30-year loan at 5%, will save you $1.50 in interest at the end of it. you can keep going from there. $5 will save you $7.50, and 10 will save you $15. It's a goal, though. It's something you can work towards. And in our Christian pathway of life, I think we need something to focus on for joy in the journey. And we know that our main focus needs to be on our Lord, on our Savior. Brother Ken mentioned this verse this morning in Hebrews 12:2, where to look unto Jesus. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. I believe it's extremely important to pay close attention to where we're at now and what we're doing and what's going on, but to always look ahead with an eternal view, to always get the big picture, so to speak. Look ahead. And as we look at this chapter tonight, I hope we can pull some things out that will give us something to focus on and some things for joy in the journey. Verse 1 tells us to be therefore followers of God as dear children. Every child, I believe, that has respectable parents will want to follow their father or their mother. And we as followers of Jesus Christ are to follow him as dear children. Children are imitators. It's amusing at times to watch young children imitate something that their parents will do, a father or a mother. But we are to be imitators. We're to follow as dear children. 1 Peter 2:21 says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow in his steps." He was our example, and he's the one that we should follow. We should try to follow in his very steps. Brother Ken talked this morning about being ashamed of the gospel. And I had to think, you know, as we go through here, we're going to talk about not missing opportunities that come our way. And just recently, Lori and I were on a train in North Carolina. And while we were on that train riding along, a fellow came to us and he said, "Are you Mennonite?" I said, "No, we're brethren." And we had a little talk here, and he said he was a professor of world religions at the University of North Carolina. And we talked a while, and he walked away, and after we get off the train, I thought, man, I really messed up. I would have loved to know what his conclusions are if he studied world religions, what he come to as a final conclusion on real religion and real spirituality. But I guess I'm a little slow and I didn't think fast enough, but I really would yet like to know what he was thinking about. But we're assured in Scripture that if we follow Jesus Christ in his steps, we will be honored by the Father. Jesus said in John 12:26, "If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. And if any man serve me, him will my Father honor." In John 10:27, Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." I think their action verbs there, hearing, is doing, and he knows them because we do, and we follow him. I think if we're intent on following the Lord, our focus will be on what he asks us to do, the commandments that he gives us in Scripture, and that will certainly contribute to having joy in our Christian journey. Verse 2 says that we are to walk in love. I just was amazed as I looked at these verses how rich this letter to the Ephesians by Paul is. It just amazes me. Every verse is just so full. Verse 2 says to walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Jesus said in John 15:13, that no greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You know, you can tell pretty much how much a person loves another person, whether it's their wife or their husband or anybody, any other individual for that matter, by how they treat them and what they do for the other individual. And not in a public setting as much as when their actions go unnoticed by others, how they treat the one that they love. Speaks volumes about their love. Loving others will balance our lives and certainly will add to joy for the journey, making the journey so much sweeter. Ephesians 3:17 says that Christ should dwell in our hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. And we think about being rooted and grounded in love, I think if we go to 1 Corinthians 13, that explains what's all involved in being rooted and grounded in love. And many people would just love, I think, to have great gifts and do great things that are noticed by others rather than to simply love their fellow man. But the first three verses there in 1 Corinthians 13 settle those kinds of thoughts. When it says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. You can speak well, but it's basically a worthless noise if there's no love behind our speech. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. It's nothing to be able to expound prophecy if there's no love with it. And it even goes further yet in verse 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profited me nothing. Our verse here in Ephesians 5 says we're to walk in love as Christ hath loved us. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Exactly what Christ has done for each one of us. The kind of love that brings joy to the journey. Verse 3 then tells us that fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not once be named among you as becometh saints. I think if we want to have joy in the journey, we need to keep ourselves pure, live a holy life. And I'm going to say here that especially if you're a man, you're at times tempted, I believe, with impure thoughts. And Satan tells us, even as ministers, doesn't matter who you are, you can check it out. You ought to have an idea of what's going on out there in the world. You ought to know. And I'm convinced that's a lie straight from the flames of hell, because this verse says, let it not once be named among you as becometh saints. 1 Peter 2:11 says, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. These are things that war against the soul, and they rob you and I of our joy in the journey. Proverbs 4:23 says, we're to keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. We need to be careful and stay away and flee the temptations of the fleshly lust that come into our minds at times. Verse 4 here says about filthiness and foolish talking and jesting, which are not convenient, but it ends the verse by saying, but rather giving of thanks. We're to be a thankful people. Psalm 104 says we're to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. I think a thankful person, thankful before God, actually blesses the name of the Lord. If anybody on this earth has anything to be thankful for, it is a child of God, isn't it? Colossians 1:12 says, we're to give thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He, as God, has accepted us because of what Jesus Christ has done for us, and he's made us to be partakers of his holy inheritance. And we are to give thanks unto the Father for that reason. It also tells us there that in verse 5, for this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous person who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. That inheritance is void if we get caught up in the wrong things. And again, these are things that rob you and I, as followers of Christ, the joy that he wants us to have in the journey of life. So verses 1 through 5 tell us to follow God, to walk in love, to keep ourselves pure, and to give thanks. The next 9 verses, verses 6 to 14, give warning signs of those who will try to take that true joy away from us. Verse 6, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not deceived. Let no man deceive you. 2 Thessalonians, I think, chapter 2, verse 3, puts a lot more emphasis on these words when Paul writes there, let no man deceive you by any means. I think we live in a day and an age when deception is just everywhere. It's all around us. You don't have to do that. Christ will take you as you are. The scripture don't really mean that. And on the deceivers go. And many who are faithful to God's word are being deceived. And it's through the efforts of Satan. And we need to be careful. Let no man deceive you by any means. There's just too many people that won't stop at turning their backs on truth. They abhor truth. They hate it with a passion. And they're going to try to do everything in their power to deceive those that love and want to follow the truth of God's word. Verse 7 says, be not ye therefore partakers with them. Don't get caught up in their speeches. Don't get caught up in what they say, in their words of deception. James 4:7, resist the devil and he will flee from you. We will need to make an effort, I believe, to resist deception from the evil influences around us. And so many of them, of the influences that deceive, don't really appear to be all that evil. Verse 8 says that we were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Walk as children of the light. We're to be a people of a positive attitude, I believe. Because for us, we can always look ahead to a better thing. There's always better things ahead for the child of God. If not in this life, in the life to come for sure, we will have better things. Many people today have a negative outlook. The news is negative for the most part. But the Christian should be the one with the positive attitude. Philippians 4:8 would tell us what to think on, and the things that are listed there in Philippians 4:8 are all positive things. And as a demonstration of looking at the negative, a minister was addressing a group of men. He took a large piece of paper and he made a black dot in the middle of it and he held it up. And he asked them what they saw. One person replied that, I see a black mark. Right, the preacher said, what else? Complete silence was in the room. I'm really surprised, the speaker said. You've completely overlooked the most important part of all, the sheet of white, clean paper. The point is that we're so often distracted by that small black dot. Those little disappointments that come, we're prone to forget all the blessings that we receive from the Lord. I like the sheet of paper, the good things are far more important than the adversities that seem to monopolize our attention. It reminds me of a little verse that expresses a practical advice, somewhat amusing. As you travel down life's pathway, may this ever be your goal. Keep your eye upon the donut and not upon the hole. There's something more to look at than just the hole. Thinking positive things, I believe, will certainly increase our joy for the journey. Verse 9, the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. I think we should make every effort to live out the fruit of the Spirit in our lives each day, always bearing fruit to the honor and glory of God. And again, I think it goes with the message of the morning, not to be ashamed of the one that we can bear fruit for, but to do all we can to bear fruit to His honor and to His glory. Focus on the fruit. Verse 10 tells us to prove what is acceptable unto the Lord. I think if we set out to prove something, we're going to eliminate questionable areas, questionable activities, questionable deals, or questionable speech that someone might be talking to us, the words that someone might be saying. Check it out with God's word. Prove what is acceptable unto the Lord. Is this activity clean? Is it wholesome? Is the deal honest? Is it upright? Are the words that we hear truth? Prove them by God's word. prove all things. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 says, prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. Once something is proven, and is proven to bring honor to God, then I think we need to hold to it, stick to it, hold fast to that which is good. In verse 11, we have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. We're admonished here to separate ourselves from the unfruitful work of darkness and to stand firm in the truth. You know, the little phrase on the end of that verse, but rather reprove them, is something that, at least for myself, I tend to shy away from. We don't want to have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but we're to reprove them. You know, so many times we have the attitude, if that's what they want to do, that goes to them. They'll answer for it. But this scripture tells us to reprove them. I think there's tactful ways to do that, but it's something that, it's a lesson that stood out to me as I studied these scriptures. But rather, reprove them. 2 Corinthians 6:15 to 18 ask us, what concord hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. You see, when that happens, when we come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. There's a separation. We're to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. And I think if we want to experience true joy in our Christian journey, we can't have one foot in the world, one foot in the church. It doesn't work that way. We're called, according to Mark 12, verses 30 and 31, to love the Lord thy God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind, with all our strength. Jesus said, this is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. That's not half-hearted Christianity. That's all. And it's something, it's a goal to work toward. It's something we need to focus on. Loving the Lord with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, all our strength, and our neighbor as ourselves. Verse 12 says, it's a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. You know, there's people out there that seemingly can't say enough negative words about others, continually run other people down. The scripture tells us that if we want to enjoy life, we need to change our speech if we find ourselves in that type of a category. 1 Peter 3:10 says, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from that they speak no guile. We are to keep our conversation pure. This verse talks about those that practice secret sins and for others to talk about them. I believe in this day and age of electronic communication, most people, I don't mess with Facebook or Twitter or whatever else they do on the computer. In fact, I don't even know how you get on it. But I think there's too many people that expose themselves far more than necessary and way too much. And there's also too many people that waste too much time reading up on other people that don't amount to anything at all. And I think that falls into the category of verse 16, where to redeem the time because the days are evil. Both, in my opinion, are a total waste of time. I guess they can have their place. I know there's people that literally visit with people that are off in a distance, but I think there's too much wasted time on the computer, and not just the computer, on the phones these days. For everywhere you go, there's somebody that has a phone in their face, and that's about all they're looking at anymore. But we need to be careful we don't fall in to the deception of things that can happen in these avenues. We're told to redeem the time I think these scriptures are just so appropriate for our day and age in which we live. It just amazes me, written so many years ago. We're shown here in verse 13 that all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Light exposes sin. Jesus said in Luke 12, 2, there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. When we stand before the light of life, there will be no darkness to hide anything in at all. Everything will be brought out into the open. It doesn't matter what it is. Jesus said in John 8, 12, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And John also wrote in 1 John 1:5, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. There is no dark spot. There's no place to hide anything before God. There is no secret sin in God's eyes. Moses, in talking to the children of Gad and the children of Reuben, warned them in Numbers 32:23, but if you will not do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. There is nothing that will not be uncovered, and it will not be revealed. Verse 14 says that we're to awake, that sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. And I think being awake here, we're commanded to stay awake. Being awake means to be alert to what's around us, but not be involved in our evil surroundings. And I think it also means that we take advantage of the opportunities that are given to us. Jesus Christ is a giver of light. He wants to give us light to light our way, each one of us. And I think we need to take advantage to the opportunities that come our way. We need to be awake. Arise from the dead. I had to think when Brother Donald was teaching Sunday school this morning. He was in Thessalonians there in our Sunday school lesson. It talks about those that the dead in Christ shall rise first. I heard a preacher say one time that that's one scripture that too many Christians today take too literal. There's so many dead Christians in our midst, and they think the dead in Christ are going to rise first. We know that's not what he's talking about there, but in our lesson here this evening, to arise from the dead means to arise from being dead in sin. And certainly we know that the dead in Christ will rise first, according to the promise of Scripture, when Jesus returns. It's amazing what you hear. Just this past week, there was two families from different church groups that I read about that had a feud in Las Vegas. I think it was some time back, but it came to court just this past week. And they got to scrapping in a parking lot, and it led to one man being killed, one man being charged with murder. And they're connected with Christian church groups. So we always have to be on guard. In verses 15 to 21, I think we have special instructions for the journey. Ways to bring out the joy. We have in verse 15 that we walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Circumspectly there means to be diligent, serious, not as fools. I think the world today, if I can say it this way, based on this verse, is seemingly full of fools. You know, people today, a lot of them just can't seem to be serious. Everybody's up for a laugh, a quick one-liner to get everybody to chuckle. We're to walk wisely as Christians. Wisdom is something that I think we need to work for. We need to strive for. It's a goal we need to focus on. Proverbs 4:7 says, wisdom is a principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Jesus said that wisdom is like a solid foundation. In Matthew 7:24, he said, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And in James 3:17, we see that true wisdom is full of spiritual fruit. It says there, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And I believe wisdom will give joy for the journey. We've already mentioned verse 16, but I believe it's very important that we redeem the time because the days are evil. And as I looked up redeem in my Strong's Concordance, the word used there, I don't know what the word was. I didn't even write it down here. But it means to rescue from loss or to improve opportunities. Again, be able to take advantage of the opportunities that come before us. Rescue those opportunities from loss. Redeem the time. Colossians 4:5 tells us to walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Don't let them slip. Rescue them from loss. We live in an evil time. Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:1 that in the last days perilous times shall come. And I'm talking to myself probably more than anybody else here tonight when I say we need to avail ourselves to the opportunities around us and the opportunities that are presented before us. But it's something that I need. And I think we need to take advantage of those opportunities. Verse 17 says that we're not to be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And again, we're commanded to seek wisdom and understanding for what the will of the Lord is for our lives. How do we get understanding? The writer of Psalms 119, 104 tells us, through thy precepts I get understanding. By reading and studying Scripture, I think, is the way we get understanding, is the way we get wisdom. Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:7, consider what I say, and the Lord will give thee understanding in all things. The Lord will give us understanding in all things, and I think He will give us understanding when it comes to what the will of the Lord is for our lives, if we ask Him. And I think so many people don't ask, and the Scripture says we have not because we ask not. Jesus said that doing the will of the Father establishes a divine relationship for each of us with Him. Matthew 12:50, Jesus said, whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. It is important that we focus on doing the will of our Father which is in heaven. The commandments that we have in Scripture, strive for wisdom and strive for understanding as we strive to do the will of the Lord for our lives. Part of that is brought out also in verse 18. We're not to be drunk with wine when it is excess, but to be filled with the Spirit. Another goal, another focus we should have is to be filled with the Spirit of God as we go about from day to day. And I think if we are, verses 19, 20, and 21 will fall into place. When we're filled with the Spirit, we will speak to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord. We will give thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we will submit ourselves one to another in the fear of God. If we walk as children of light, we need to focus and strive to keep our conversations pure, redeem the time that the Lord has given us, walk wisely, and do the will of the Lord. Our lives will exhibit true joy, I believe, in our Christian journey. I think there are goals that we can focus on as we go through life. We're not always going to be 100% successful in every area all the time, but it's the focus that we need to have as we go through our Christian life. And I know for myself, when I get off track, we don't have the joy that we should have, do we? Until we repent, make things right, and get our focus where it needs to be. And we will have joy for the journey. Matthew 6:33 says that we're to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And I pray that the Lord will bless you and keep you as we go forth focusing on doing His will in our lives from day to day.
I'd like to thank Brother Larry for his thoughts this evening. Something that he said a little bit earlier kind of caught my attention. There are always things in the believer's life or in the for the child of God that we can be thankful for and that we can have joy about. I recently heard a testimony from Brother Marcus Fox. He's the man that used to sing with the Garments of Praise, and he has a son who's 18 years old, and he's in a wheelchair. I think he has a muscular dystrophy, and he talked about some of the struggles in that, but he also shared of his deep thanksgiving to God. Through that situation and his faith in God, that he would be thankful even in that. And his son also has an interesting testimony. And thinking of the lesson, Sunday school lesson this morning, for those of us who are believers, 2 Timothy 4:8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Let's stand at this time for closing prayer.